invite you to take God's word and turn with me to Romans chapter 12. And as you're turning to Romans chapter 12, can we say thank you to Darrell and the choir for leading us in great worship today? You know, the scripture says we should sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And we did all three today. That last one was Psalm 34 and just ministered to my heart. Thank you so very much. We are in the last message in our Essential Church series, and I hope you've enjoyed this series. I know I have. You know, it's so important for me, just as we began our relationship as pastor and people, to make sure that we were building on a solid foundation. You know, most healthy relationships, they started on a solid foundation, and these core values that we've looked at over the last 5 weeks, they are essentials in the Essential Church that help lay that foundation. And we talked about in week one, this whole idea of knowing God. I mean, just a tremendous truth that we can know the God of the universe, the one that knit us together in our mother's womb, the one that throws the stars in the sky and knows them by name. That God we can know in a personal way through his son, Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful truth. We talked about the core value of growing in him and the importance of prayer and being in God's word as a means of abiding, remaining, staying close to him. Then we grow and we produce spiritual fruit. We're healthy spiritually when we do that. We talked about the importance of being on mission and going. In that sermon, we said the call to follow is a call to fish, and that means to fish for men and women and boys and girls. The essence of the Christian life is making sure that we go out and we are bringing those who are far from God into a saving relationship with God. And so we want to go on mission in our community and around the world. And last week we talked about the core value of giving. And we just said this, that we are never more like Jesus than when we give. And we just challenged all of us to live with an open hand and a generous heart. This final core value I want to talk to us about today is the core value of serving. And if you're taking notes, I encourage you to do so. The title of the message today is Gifted to Serve. Did you know that when Jesus saves you, he gifts you? I'll say it again, just like I said last week, the thing that Jesus does best is he gives. When you entered into a personal relationship with him, he gave you eternal life, but it didn't stop there. Scripture teaches that when we trust in Christ, he gives us his Holy Spirit. Along with giving us his Holy Spirit, he gives us a spiritual, supernatural gift or gifts that is meant to be used, and that's key, it's meant to be used in the church for the building up of the body of Christ. Paul writes about this in Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 3. The Bible says this, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." A couple of weeks ago, we had our first staff chapel, and it was so good to get together, to pray together, to worship together. And it was my first opportunity to address the staff as pastor. And so I wanted to present to them what I called the ministry mindset. They're 10 principles that I try to live by, leadership principles that I wanted to invest in them. I want to make sure as the shepherd and leader of this church that we as a staff team are all on the same page. And I share with them one of these principles. It's a motto that I try to live by, say it nearly every time I come on our campus. I want it at the forefront of my mind, on the tip of my tongue. And that is simply this, that as pastors in this church, we need to make sure that we assume the towel. You know what I mean by that? It's rooted in John chapter 13, when Jesus, at the Lord's Supper, he gets up and the Bible tells us he takes a basin filled with water and he wraps a towel around his waist and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. He begins to serve them. He assumes the towel. He even says to them, John chapter 13, verses 14 and 15, If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. He's not speaking just literally here. It was more of a figure of speech describing that we should serve each other. He even says, for I have given you an example that you should do for others just as I have done for you. As Christians, we are to assume the towel. We are to wash the feet of others. This is how Jesus lived, and this is how Jesus taught. One of the first verses I memorized as a teenager was Mark chapter 10, verse 45. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Matthew records the same conversation in which Jesus makes that statement. Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 27, the disciples are having an argument over who was greatest in the kingdom. And the Bible says Jesus called them to him and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever be first among you must be your slave. The call of a Christian is a call to serve. Paul, in writing the church at Philippi, many believe that this was an early church hymn that the church would sing together to just focus on the person and work and ministry of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. He made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant. We have been called as Christians to serve. And the Bible teaches here in Romans chapter 12 that we have been gifted to serve. And so what I want us to do is look at this passage and really pull out three words that are highlighted in this passage. They almost pop off the page as you read it. The first word is this, and again, if you're taking notes, and I encourage you to write it down, it's the word humility. That's verse 3. You see it there in this passage? For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you that you not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Paul's been writing these believers in Rome. And remember, these letters at the time, they were letters. They didn't have chapters and verses. Those came along later so that we could find our place together like this. In the context of verse 3, Paul is coming off the heels of speaking to these believers about their calling and their election and how it is God who saved them. God did the saving. They didn't save themselves. And so there should be no pride. There should be no ego when we enter into the church. There should be no, verse 3, thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And all true service for the Lord, it begins right here. It begins by walking in and living in humility, understanding that it's God who saved us. And as it relates to the spiritual gifts, it's God who gifted us, gave us a measure of faith as he has assigned. I'm telling you, there is no room for pride, no room for arrogance, when we realize that who we are is all because of the grace of God. What we do in service for him, strictly given by the grace of God. And so Paul calls us here to think intelligently about these things. Sober judgment. Think rightly about this. I mean, for any of us to think that we got here in a relationship with God in and of ourselves, Paul says that's foolish thinking. That's prideful thinking. For any of us to think that the good that we do using the gifts that God gave us is of our own natural talent and abilities, Paul says that is foolish, prideful thinking. And if you want God to quietly exit any room you're in, then you do something with a sense of pride and arrogance in your heart. I'm telling you, he hates it. He stiff arms pride. I have a couple of rituals, I guess you could say they are, before I stand up here to preach. One of them is I will, before the song is over, right before I preach, is I'll just extend my Bible out like this and offer it to the Lord. I've prayed this week. I've prepared this week. But the notes that I have in this Bible, let me just tell you something. It's just water. God's got to turn it into wine for you today. So I'll offer it to him. Secondly, as I just take a step forward, just a quiet step forward, symbolizing the fact that I'm stepping into my calling. I understand that what I'm doing in this moment, I'm not doing in and of myself. Only reason I'm able to do it, capable to do it, is because God's called me to it. And so it's just a reminder that God, as a 17-year-old, you called me to yourself. You called me to preach the gospel. And so I'm stepping into that calling right now. Third thing I do. Motto I have in the back of my head, I learned it from a mentor years ago. It's just a little saying. And the saying is, when pride steps on the platform, God steps off. Don't want anything to do with it. And Paul here, he's encouraging those of us in the church to make sure that we always have a heart, a posture of humility. It's just like when we talked about giving last week. It's not about the amount that we give. It's the heart behind it. Well, the same way as it relates to our spiritual gifts and serving. It's not about what we do for the Lord. It's the posture of the heart behind it. And so Paul writes and he says, you better be thinking with sober judgment. You realize that when you're using your spiritual gift and God uses you to bless and encourage others, and let me just say this, there ain't nothing like it. I mean, it's better than any drug you could ever take, any high that you could ever have. When you're using the spiritual gift that God has given you and he uses you to influence people for Christ, to build his church, there ain't nothing like it. But there's a warning to it. He says, you better think sober about it. I mean, you ask our musicians, you ask our worship leaders. I mean, it's a subtle temptation to get up here when they are naturally gifted and talented to sing. And natural gifts and talents are different than spiritual gifts, but what I've noticed is oftentimes they go hand in hand, they work together, there's great power in it when they're crossing over. You ask any of our musicians, they stand up here and they get after it and they peel the paint off the wall singing to the Lord. And we stand up and we're applauding, of course, God and what he's done in the moment, but we're also applauding them for their talent and giftings. It's a subtle temptation to walk off this stage and think, that was good. I did that. And all of a sudden, if we're not careful, even our service to God, that's why Paul said, you use sober judgment. It's God that gifted you. God that saved you. God that allows you to get up there and sing. Same with pastors and teachers. I mean, this is a great warning to me as your pastor, a great warning to our life group leaders who stand to teach God's word. I mean, there's nothing like standing to teach God's word, proclaiming his truth, exercising your spiritual gift. And what happens when you exercise your spiritual gift? It's just like a physical muscle. It tends to get stronger and better. Nothing like teaching God's word, seeing the light bulbs come on, teaching a truth and somebody walking away empowered to make a decision that they hadn't made before. Free somebody up that's held back. The subtle temptation is thinking, you think we came up with this? No, it's God working. It's God speaking to individuals. It's God softening hearts. Yes, he's using me, but he's using me because of the gift that he's given me. He's using me out of grace. And so he gets all of the glory. This is what Paul's saying. Think soberly. Think rightly. Those of you that come in the church, those that are using their spiritual gifts to build up the body, there is no thinking more highly of yourselves than you ought to think. You ought to clothe yourselves in humility, the Bible says, knowing it's God who's doing it in the first place. Listen, this church is full of gifted people doing some amazing kingdom work. And my challenge and encouragement for you today is to simply make sure whatever it is you're doing, that you're doing it with a heart of humility. No spiritual gift is better than the other. No one has all of the spiritual gifts. No super saints here. We need one another. We work together. And it takes an attitude of humility to understand this and walk in this truth. Second word that comes off of this page when you read this passage of Scripture. It's the word unity. Do you see it there in verses 4 and 5? For as in one body, we have many members. And the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Unity. Such an important subject in the church. Very important as it relates to serving Him and using our spiritual gifts to build up the body. Now, tonight is the Super Bowl, all right? We're all going to be tuned in. We're going to be watching the game. And as you watch this game, it is a perfect illustration of what Paul is speaking about concerning unity in the body of Christ. For example, I mean, some of you are going to be going for the GOAT, all right? Tom Brady, you're cheering on the Buccaneers. If you graduated from Texas Tech, it's Patrick Mahomes. I understand that, all right? But you take any team, and you look at that singular team, and you watch their unity. Now, unity does not mean uniformity. Those players are all different. They've got different giftings and different skills. They have different strengths and different weaknesses. Each person on that singular team is bringing something different to the team. But there's unity. They all play for the same team. They all share the same logo. They're all going after the same goal. That's to win a Super Bowl. And this illustration is exactly what Paul's getting at here in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5 as it relates to the church. He says, if you're a Christian, if you are a born-again believer in Christ, hey, we're on the same team. It's called the church. We're wearing the same uniform. We're clothed in Christ. We have the same goal is to be like Jesus and bring as many people to heaven with us as possible. We do this in the same way, using our God-given gifts in a way that brings glory to Him and builds up the church. This is unity. We're all members of His body. Different personalities, giftings, passions, skills. But we're members one of another. Paul would teach on spiritual gifts to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And he would use not the illustration of a Super Bowl, he would use the illustration of a physical body as how we serve together and how our gifts operate in conjunction with one another. Listen to what he writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 14. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Verses 25 through 27, there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So we're in this together. You may be thinking here today, but Jared, I'm just a foot. And I don't like being a foot. Foot's not that important. You ever stubbed a toe? Very important. God has assigned to you a spiritual gift. Gifts. The question is, are you using it? And for us to use these gifts in a way that honors Him, we use them in humility, we're unified, together, caring for one another, serving one another. And I'm telling you, when we're pulling on the same end of the rope, all using our gifts to bring glory and honor to Christ and build up the church, there's great power in that. This is what Jesus prayed for in John chapter 17. Right before he went to the cross, what did he pray? He prayed for our unity, that they would be one. Not all doing the same thing in the same way, but using the gifts God has given us to accomplish the same goal, and that is to build up the church and to bring glory and honor to God. This is what spiritual gifts do. Their purpose is to make much of God, not ourselves. The purpose is to serve others, not ourselves. It's to build up the church as a whole. That 1 Corinthians 12 passage, verse 7, Paul would say, to each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, the second part, a passage on spiritual gifts. He concludes it, these spiritual gifts are given for the building up of the body of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it. Why? To serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. We see in this passage of Scripture that if we are to serve Christ and serve His church and do it in the most effective way possible, it's by using the spiritual gifts He has given us with a posture of humility, that we work toward unity. And then the third word comes off the pages of Scripture as you read this passage. It's the word diversity. Now at Champion Forest, we're used to using this word diversity as it relates to the fact that we are a multicultural church. And I love that about our church. And thinking about that, speaking about diversity, we recognize and celebrate that this is Black History Month, and we celebrate the accomplishment of African American men and women in our nation's history. It should be celebrated. I love being part of a diverse church. But when I use this word diversity here, it's not so much concerning multicultural that I'm talking about, it's concerning our gifting. Look here at Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8 again. This is not an exhaustive list of the spiritual gifts, but you'll notice the diversity. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. And then he lists out these different gifts: prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, acts of mercy. There are a variety of gifts, a diversity of gifts in the body. Paul, 1 Corinthians 12 passage again. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. A variety of service, but the same Lord. A variety of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. F.F. Bruce, New Testament scholar, he wrote commentary. It's used by a lot of seminary students. He wrote this concerning our diversity of gifts. Diversity, not uniformity, is the mark of God's handiwork. It is so in nature, it is so in grace too, and nowhere more so than in the Christian community. Here are many men and women with the most diverse kinds of parentage and environment and temperament and capacity. Not only so, but since they became Christians, they have been endowed by God with a great variety of spiritual gifts as well. Yet because and by means of that diversity, all can cooperate for the good of the whole. And so, again, the challenge today is that we ought to be serving Christ and serving His church to do it in the most effective way. We've got to be using our spiritual gifts. And so the question is, are you using your spiritual gift? The challenge, if you don't know what your spiritual gift is number one, find out. How do you do that? Well, start by studying the Bible. Study these passages of Scripture on the spiritual gifts. Study Romans chapter 12. Study 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Study 1 Peter 4. Study Ephesians 4. These are just some of the passages on spiritual gifts. And the point of the message today is not to discuss these spiritual gifts in detail or debate whether or not they're still at work today. That's not the point. The point is, if you want to know what your spiritual gift is, study the Bible and see what it says about spiritual gifts. Secondly, study yourself. Like if you say, Jared, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. Where should I be using it? Well, I would ask you these questions. What are you passionate about? What do you love? I mean, what do you do when you do it? You sense the smile of God on your life. Again, natural abilities and talents are different than spiritual gifts, but I've noticed through the years that they often go hand in hand. Rick Warren, in his book, Purpose Driven Life, gave a great word to think through our purpose, to think through our spiritual gifts. He gave the word shape. What's your shape? S is spiritual gifts. We study the scripture, we study ourselves. H stands for heart. What are you passionate about? I mean, for some of you, you have the spiritual gift of teaching, but you're passionate about sports. Man, we could use you in our upper basketball to teach kids about the game, but also to teach them about life. You see how your passions and your gifts go together? A stands for your abilities. Some of you are administratively minded. That's your spiritual gift, the gift of administration. And I'm just telling you, we could use your gift of administration here in the church to help us organize things. P, personality. Look, when God saves you, he doesn't want to change your personality. He wants to channel it so he can use it for his glory. E, experiences. Some of you have been through some experiences in life. I'm telling you, life has thrown you a curveball and you've handled it with such grace. And God has taught you some things in that. And maybe you have the spiritual gift of mercy. And you can come along and comfort others with the comfort with which you are comforted who have maybe gone through the same thing in life. And so the question is, are you using your spiritual gift? If you're not, why not? I want to encourage you today. We want to help you get in the game on serving. So when you leave today, we have a ministry fair in the atrium, like 10 or 12 ministries. And every one of these ministries, there are ways that you can serve, about 10 to 12 ways you can serve underneath them. Everything from children's ministry to student ministry to our first impressions ministry to our media ministry to our worship ministry. There's a number of ways that you can serve. Just go by those booths outside on your way and just talk to them. Ask them, what are your needs? You know the key to being used by God before even discerning and determining your spiritual gift? It's called availability. If you'll be available, God will use you. And it could just be in being available to him that you discover what that spiritual gift is. You can go to our website. Champion Forest, you like how I did that? Champion Forest slash serve, all right? You can go to that website and you can scroll down to the bottom. This gives you all of the places that you can serve. You can scroll down to the bottom and there's a place called Gifts there. You click on that and you can take a spiritual gifts inventory. Again, it's not the end all be all, but it might help you determine what is my spiritual gift. Go to championforce.com/serve. Number of ways that you could give. We just want to do everything we can today to help you discover and use your spiritual gift. Because I'm telling you, when you tap into that and God uses you to further his purposes and accomplish his mission, I'm telling you, there's nothing else like it. And we want you to experience it. This past week, I had a meeting with some of the members of the pastor search team. I've loved getting to know this team. They did such an incredible job. Verse 3, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. I got it. I love getting to know them. They knew that I was teaching on this whole idea of service. And so they wanted to meet with me to show me the congregational surveys that you took during the time that you were without a pastor, because they surveyed the congregations, all of our campuses, and just learned about the church. They showed me that there were 79 different ministries in the church that they're aware of. This doesn't count the ones that other people are doing just because it's close and dear to their heart. These are 79 ministries of the church. The common rule is, in churches and organizations, that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. It's just common. 20% of the people do 80% of the giving. 20% of the people do 80% of the volunteering. And they showed me, from the people that took this survey, what our percentage was as a church. Champion Forest, you ought to be exceptionally proud of yourself because you blow that statistic out of the water. Did you know that for those that took the survey, 65% of this congregation serves in some format or another. You volunteer in some way or another. 65%. That's awesome. This is awesome. You ought to give yourself a hand. It's beautiful. That means, though, that there's 35%. Is that right, Chris? 35% gift of administration that aren't using their spiritual gifts. Not in the game serving. And my encouragement to you is to simply pray and say, God, help me discover my spiritual gift. And then use it. Go by one of these ministry booths after the service and just say, I want to be available to serve. That's my challenge. This past week, I was headed into Loopy's Tortilla. It's about the, I don't know, been here a month. It's probably the 13th, 14th time I've been there. And so I walked in and I noticed there was a Joseph A. Bank right next to it. Well, I remember when I was cleaning out my stuff to move here, I found a Joseph A. Bank gift card that I had. And so I put it in my truck, and I figured, you know, next time I see one, I'll pull in there and just go. So there's one, and I just said, well, this must be from the Lord. And so I walked into Joseph A. Bank, had my gift card. I start looking around, and I get some things, and I take them to the counter. And great people working there, and they ring me up. And I said, I got a gift card. And I gave it to him, and he goes, this is an old gift card. He said, we stopped giving these out years ago. How old is this? I don't know. I found it. I mean, he couldn't even scan it. He had to type the number in. I felt sorry for him. He types the number in. He said, you have $100 on this gift card. I thought, favor ain't fair, all right? And so I got my stuff, walked out, so excited that I just saved $100. And I thought, you know what? How sad is it that gift cards go unused? I pulled it up. CNBC did an article. You know, in the United States alone, $3 billion every year goes in unused gift cards. Some of you are thinking about the gift cards that you have right now. $3 billion. I thought about that as it relates to our spiritual gifts. And I thought, good gracious alive. How many of us is God given a spiritual gift to, and it's going unused? We're leaving it on the table. And that spiritual gift is worth way more than $3 billion when God uses you to help build up the church and bring glory to his name. And so I just want to challenge you, Champion Forest. Let's get in the game. Let's use these spiritual gifts God has given us so that the body of Christ is built up and the glory of Christ's name is made great. Amen? Let's pray together. Would you bow your heads across this room, every head bowed, every eye closed? For those that are watching online, if you're able, you just bow right where you are as well. I want to encourage you in this moment. I said at the very beginning of the message that when God saves us, God gifts us. And there are some of you here today. You came to Champion Forest. You were invited by a friend, or maybe you're new to the area like I am, and you were looking for a new church, and you came in here today. And the reality is, you don't have a spiritual gift because you've never entered into a personal relationship with Jesus. I want to encourage you in this moment, with your head bowed, would you just pray a simple prayer of faith? Pray it just like this. Dear Jesus, would you forgive me of my sin? And would you come to live in my life? It's a simple prayer of faith. Use your words. Just tell the Lord, I believe that you died for me. You shed your blood to make me right with God. And I believe you were raised to life. And just tell him in your own words, invite him into your heart. God, come into my life and save me. The Bible teaches that if you pray that prayer, that instantaneously you are made a new creation in Christ. And God gives you eternal life, and he gives you his Holy Spirit, and he gives you a spiritual gift that you can use to bring glory and honor to him. For anybody that's praying this prayer right now, just let us know in the comment section online. We would love to follow up with you, just congratulate you on this decision. And if you're in the room today and you're praying to receive Christ, in just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation, time of prayer. And what we invite you to do is, if you're praying to receive Christ, we invite you to make that decision public. There's just something about coming forward, telling somebody what God's doing in your heart. We want to put resources in your hand, help you grow in your walk with Christ. We want to celebrate this decision that you're making. We want to answer any questions that you may have. And so if you're here today in the room and you're praying to receive Christ, in just a moment when we stand to sing, I want you to be the first one down this aisle to tell one of our pastors, I'm being saved today. I'm asking Jesus to change my life. We will rejoice with you. And again, we'll put resources in your hand. We just want to celebrate what God's doing. There's others of you, you're saved, you've got a spiritual gift, but you're not using it in the context of the local church. And the reason is because you're not a member of a local church. If you're not a member of a local church, I've got a really good one I could suggest to you today. And I want to encourage you in this time of invitation, in just a moment, when we stand to sing, if you want to become a member of Champion Forest Baptist Church, why don't you come forward and we will sign you up for our membership class so that you can become a member. Or maybe you want to be baptized. Get your baptism on the right side of your salvation. I talked to someone just this morning who made that decision a few weeks ago. They had a personal relationship with Christ, but hadn't been biblically baptized. Maybe that's you. Come forward. We'd love to schedule your baptism. Or if you need prayer, maybe you want to pray with the pastor. Say, help me discern what that spiritual gift is. Or maybe there's a need in your life. That's why we're here. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray. We're going to stand and sing. Our pastors are going to be at the head of each of these aisles. They're going to be up in the balcony at the exits. You don't have to come all the way down. But if you're making a decision, trusting in Christ, joining the church, being baptized, need prayer, whatever it is, I want you to come. And if you came with someone, they'll come with you. Father, in Jesus' name, this is a time of invitation. Lord, we pray for what you're doing in this place. God, our only responsibility is to be obedient to your voice speaking to our hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.